The music of Kirk Mason, Chris Foster, Linnea Jimson, and Meredith Brown. They are the Bard Owls in studio with us today on WKAR's Current State. Also, the American Dream. It's all about pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and doing great things. And it spawned a self-help industry that generates over $10 billion a year. Author Jessica Lamb Shapiro literally grew up in the middle of that world. She joins us this morning to talk about her book, Promised Land, My Journey Through America's Self-Help Culture. What would it be like to follow the Missouri River from its source all the way to the Gulf of Mexico? Janet Moreland did just that. She's the keynote speaker at this weekend's Quiet Water Symposium at Michigan State University. She will join us in studio to talk about her history-making 3,800-mile trek in a kayak. And how cold is it? Well, that question is more than just a setup for a Johnny Carson punchline. For many, the winter of 2014 feels like one of the worst ever in mid-Michigan. WILX Chief Meteorologist Andy Provenzano will answer that question on the program today. It's Friday, so that means live music here in the Current State Studios. The Lansing-based folk group Bard Owls are here to help us usher in the weekend. They play tonight at Max Bar in East Lansing and will be in studio with me all hour long. For Mark Bayshore, I'm Scott Westerman from the MSU Alumni Association, and this is Current State for Friday, February 28th. This year, being a meteorologist makes you a target for every cabin-fevered Michigander who has had just about enough of the winter of 2014. WILX Chief Meteorologist Andy Provenzano is truly the weather authority in mid-Michigan. He's in his 15th year explaining the good, the bad, and the ugly of Michigan's unique climatology. Welcome to Current State, Andy.
Thank you. Good morning.
Many of our listeners think of the winter of 2014 as the coldest and snowiest in history. Is it?
It ranks right up there. Officially, snowfall-wise, but not the snowiest yet. As far as cold temperatures, we've had more days below zero in other winters back in the late 70s, but it would be right up there. And when you look at how long the snow's been on the ground, that's probably what gets people the most because we haven't seen the grass in a while. That's one of the snowiest winters where we've hit it hard and it's been here for such a long period of time.
And we didn't have a January thaw, did we?
There were a few days we hit upper 30s, low 40s for a couple of days, but that was the point. After we got past that, everybody forgot that. We went 35 days in a row below freezing. A lot of those days weren't 28 and 29. They were 15, 13, 5. So we went over a month where we didn't get above the freezing mark, and now here we're working on another week where last Friday we did get to the 40s, and now we have been staying below freezing, well below freezing, and will for quite a while yet.
When was record-keeping started on the weather?
You know, in Lansing, it started way back in the 1860s. It actually was taken at the Capitol for a while and then got shifted a couple of different times, eventually ending up out at the airport. But the records go back. In fact, the record low this morning is 18 below, and that was in 1884 and in 1875. So that numbers go way on back. And some of those numbers are probably going to be hard to beat, because I don't know how accurate the thermometers were back then.
So Spartans were crossing the tundra in below-zero weathers back in the early days of Michigan State University.
They certainly were, and I'm sure there were no snow days.
So we hear a lot about the polar vortex. What is it, and why is it so pronounced this year?
Polar vortex is actually always up north. Doesn't matter what season we're in. It's obviously not as big when you get into the summer months because there's a 3 months of sunshine up in the North Pole during the summer months. But there's also 3 months of darkness during the winter, so it establishes a very cold core of air that is meandering around. Almost think of it as a blob kind of moving here and there. And from year to year, season to season, it's in different places. Last year, this cold core of air, or the polar vortex, was over Europe, and they had a tremendous winter. Heavy snows, even into parts of Rome and areas that normally don't see snow. We didn't hear much about that. Occasionally you'd hear about the snow parts, but they had that core of air over them all of last year. And I was watching this cold core of air through the summer. I was up in northeast Canada. Every once in a while we'd get a taste of it, but in the summertime that means having highs in the 60s or 70s, not only 10 degrees.
Is this
so that vortex of air? Cold air is very dense, hard to move. And once it establishes itself, it's everything. The storm track goes all around it. So we didn't even have storms coming through to chase it away. So it's been sitting across all of eastern Canada and down into, at times, making it down to the Gulf of Mexico, as it is this morning. The cold air is down there as well.
Is this situation that we're facing in the United States the same around the world? Is it colder or warmer this part of the year?
You know, I always like to reference it, Scott, as like pushing on a waterbed, where one area is going down, the other area is going up. And there's a balancing act in Mother Nature, whether it's from season to season or year from year, it has to balance itself out. So, yes, there's going to be other parts of the Northern Hemisphere. While this cold air is sitting down on top of us, they're going to be warm. For example, Alaska, the West Coast, gorgeous winters for those folks. They did see some cooler weather in parts of the Pacific Northwest as of recently, but for most of winter, it was very mild, and that carried into parts on the other side of the globe. We also associate have problems with some warmer temperatures. They're naturally going to be warm. They don't get a whole lot of snow in the first place in that area, but they were in the 60s, so there's always an equilibrium going on.
How do you maintain winter conditions when it's in the 60s at the Olympics?
Well, I think the higher elevations of the mountains helped them a little bit. They put, you know, the snow machines. We had actually, I think there were snowmakers from Midland, or one of the areas up in the Thumb, brought all their snow machines, and they kept dumping snow in there.
So the word global warming makes most of us think that things will be getting warmer. Is global warming a reality? And if so, why is it so cold?
Well, that's a million-dollar question. well, I'm not a believer of global warming because I've been forecasting now in the state of Michigan on television for over 30 years. And then I had all my years in college and before that. And I've seen all these patterns before. These records back in the 1800s of minus 18 this morning. So it's happened before. And the same thing with high temperatures. There's always a constant climate change. Mother Nature's always trying to equalize things out. So you might go through a stretch of 30 years or 10 years where it's really mild and you don't see these kind of winters. But back in the 50s, we had some really nasty winters. But I think everybody remembers the blizzards of the late 60s. And then we had the huge winters of 78, 79, 80, where the snowfall totals were way up there. So it does happen, and there is a constant climate change. Obviously, at one time, this was part of the oceans, you know, many, many moons ago. So the whole problem I think we have with the global warming issue is it's become so political that we've taken the science out of it, and there's agendas. But, you know, I'm a firm believer that we have to be good stewards of this earth. I mean, we can't do the things, you know, that they probably did during the Industrial Revolution and all those times. But I think the atmosphere is pretty resilient at times. Do we want to push it? No, we got to watch what we do. Hopefully, we'd find other nations doing the same thing. They don't, but maybe in time they will.
There's a great picture floating around the internet showing the ice pack on the Great Lakes. What percentage of our Great Lakes are covered with ice, and will that impact the water levels in the coming year?
A great percentage. Lake Superior, they consider the lakes frozen over at 90% because it's just impossible to have from edge to edge all frozen up. So Lake Superior at one time was 94% and totally frozen over. It pretty much still is. There are a few open areas. Lake Michigan was pushing 80%, and then we had the really gusty winds last week, and that actually churned up the ice, pushed it around, and brought up some warmer water from below, and it totally disappeared in spots. And now in the last week, since we've been below freezing, it's all come back again. It's all reformed. Lake Huron's the same. It's about 90%. Lake Erie, they're all pretty much frozen over. And that's a good thing if you're trying to raise the levels of the lake. For the starters, you're not evaporating out so much water as you do with all these lake effect clouds and snows every winter. And then we're adding all the snowfall that's going on top of that ice will eventually melt in. And I think we'll see a pretty big rise in the Great Lakes in the upcoming spring. Plus, we've got so much inland water, whether it's snow or the water that's in the ground, and all of that eventually will come through the tributaries, the Grand River. All the major rivers will feed into the Great Lakes. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Lake Michigan go up a foot, maybe more.
So the next 10 days, what could we expect weather-wise in mid-Michigan?
Unfortunately, it hasn't changed a whole lot, and I don't see a big change. We've got some light snow coming in over the weekend, Saturday night, Sunday. We'll warm up a little bit ahead of that into the 20s, near 30 on Saturday. And then we're right back in the teens on Sunday. And next week, it's maybe not as bitter cold as it is here today, but temperatures mainly in the teens for highs through all of next week. And long range computers looking at a big storm a weekend away, so another 10 days out, could have more heavy snow for us. And I go out as far as about the 15th of March, I still find temperatures flirting with freezing or below. We just don't see a real good sign of bringing in steady warmth of any kind yet. I'm telling everybody, I think this may be the first March I remember after being here 30 years, that I don't think we'll find anybody swinging any golf clubs in the month of March.
We'll figure out a way. Are you still having fun doing the weather 3 decades later?
You know, it is. It's a daily challenge for me every day, trying to get it right and looking at different maps and, you know, having, you know, the hindsight and doing some of the wrong forecasting over 30 years when you see a weather pattern. It gets a little easier looking at things going, I remember that, or I know what's going to happen here. So it's a lot of fun with that challenge, and I really enjoy my 3 minutes on TV trying to let everybody know what's going on, maybe educating in a way and taking them along a ride. I don't like to preach the weather to anybody. I like to have them come with me, look at the maps. Let me point out what I think here is why that's going to happen. There's where we're at. And they can be in that same pattern going, yeah, I understand what he's talking about. And that's important to me.
Andy Provenzano's weather forecast can be seen on WILX-TV weeknights at 5, 6, and 11. Andy, thanks for joining us on Current State.
Thanks. Have a good day.
We'll